Let me invite you to take your Bibles this morning and be finding the book of Jude. Be finding verse 20. And I just want to say it is my prayer as we recognize and honor and celebrate with our graduates the achievements that they have accomplished in their lives this morning. That we all would be reminded that wherever the road of life will take us, the words that God is about to share with us will come back to us time and time and time again as we journey through life. And graduates, I want to remind you this morning, and I want you to remember the investment that your parents and your grandparents have made in you. And do not forget their labor of love, their time, their energy that they have invested in you. And also remember that your parents and grandparents are God's amazing gift to you. I hope that you will remember their love, their counsel, their discipline in preparing you for this next step in your life's journey. I also pray that you will remember the role that this church has played in helping you prepare for this next step in your life's journey. For three of our graduates, they are crossing the threshold from teenager to young adulthood. For another three, they are already in young adulthood. But for all of them, they are about to embark on their mission in life. For three of them, that is going to be a school of higher education, and three of them have already accomplished that. Most of them, if not each of them, has made the best choice in life. That is to repent of their sin and to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have trusted Him as their personal Lord and as their Savior. And I pray that they would remember as you embark from all that is familiar to you, your home, your church, as these three that are going away, your school, and your friends, and even as you enter into the workforce, that you will remember that God's pattern for your life is vastly different from the world. Pattern. The world will seek to mold you. God will seek to guide you. And I encourage you, choose to be guided instead of molded. If you've got God's Word open this morning, Jude verse 20, and if you would rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word this morning. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, as your servant, all I can do is take your word to the ears of your people. But Lord, we need the Spirit's power to take it down where it'll do some good and put it and plant it right in their heart. Lord, that is my prayer this morning for each and every one of us. Would you take the words that will be spoken? Would you take them and put them in our heart that we will hold on to them forever, that we might profit, that we might be blessed? In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. From our text this morning, God's sound counsel on how to remain free from the pattern of this world system. That's what God has given us here. And the first word of counsel that God gives to us is be committed to growing spiritually. Look again there at Jude 20, where Jude, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives the holy counsel of Almighty God. He writes, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." In other words, saturate your minds with the Word of God. Graduates, God's Word is a living Word. Therefore, it is your best resource. It's your best resource. It's your parents' best resource. It's your grandparents' best resource. It is this pastor's best resource. It's the best resource any person could ever have. And the psalmist wrote these words to seek to encourage us to act on God's Word. Now you need to understand, God's Word will do you no good if you don't act on it. And the psalmist said this, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee." As you embark on the next step of your life's journey, God wants you to remember this. For when you saturate your mind with the Word of God, you are also saturating your heart with the Word of God. And God knows in this world you are going to face some great and some mighty temptations. And those things come from one of three sources. So God's Word says to us, and I hope that you would remember this, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Now you need to know that temptation comes from one of three sources. The first source is an external source. It is this world's system. And God had the Apostle John write to words of wisdom that I pray we would memorize, that I pray that we would take to our heart. He said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Now when John wrote, "Love not the world," he was not talking about planet Earth, because God made the earth and God said that the earth was good. Nor is he talking about the people of the earth, because God made all the people of this earth and God created every person in this world, and every soul is valuable to God, and every soul, as you've heard this morning, needs to be one to God. So what John is referring to is this world system. And the system of the world is a system of things that stands in direct contrast to our Lord and to His ways and to what God's Word says. And the world system right now, in the world in which we're living, continually seeks to tempt us to mold ourselves to its system, a system of ungodliness, and it's a system that is concerned with only self-propagation, self-preservation, and self-gratification. The words, "Love not the world," are God's encouragement for you to stand with God and not fall prey to the world system. You say, "Why should I do that, Pastor?" Because this world is passing away. The second source of temptation is an internal foe called the flesh. And God had Paul write regarding our flesh, and I hope that we all would listen. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now the flesh is not talking about your hide or your hair or your nerves or your physical body. Our physical bodies are not evil. If they were, God would not have commanded us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so the Bible uses the word flesh to mean our predisposition to sin that we inherited from Adam. Like it or not, every single person in here has this thing inside of us called the flesh. It's present in every one of us. And you know that it's there. We are all by nature, the Bible tells us, children of wrath. Listen, you don't have to teach a child to be selfish. You don't have to teach somebody to lie. We all have an enemy inside of us called the flesh. Or some folks like to say, well, I didn't do it. You see, the devil made me do it. Nah, friend. I got news for you. If the devil was no more, guess what? We'd go right on sinning. Because inside of us is this thing called the flesh. How many of you ever been sitting around at home and all of a sudden the most ungodly, unholy thought comes filtering through your mind and you think, oh my Lord, where'd that come from? From the flesh. It's in us. And so we have an external foe. We have an infernal foe when it comes to temptation. And we've also got an infernal foe. And he's named the devil. He's the mastermind behind all these other things. Now the Bible teaches, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this world, darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Graduates, you need to know. You have an enemy, and here's what your enemy wants to do. He wants to destroy you. He wants to ruin you. He wants to take everything that of God in you that is good, everything, every good thing that God wants to give to you, and our infernal foe wants to destroy it. So you see, temptation comes from an unholy trinity, the world, our external foe, our flesh, our internal foe, and the devil, our infernal foe. And together they are the unholy trinity of temptation. And all of us gathered here, we have to wake up every morning and we have to get in the Word of God. And you'll remember, I encourage each one of you to live your life in the boundaries of God's Word. Start your day with the Word of God, because from the moment you wake, from the time you flip back the covers to put your feet on the floor, your three enemies are coming after you. And so all of us gathered here have to face them every day. And think about it like this. Our flesh is a pool of gasoline. The world is like a lighted match, and it's the devil who strikes the match and throws it. And the key to overcoming temptation is don't think you stand. Take heed. Remember what the Lord Jesus said to us. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. And be committed to growing spiritually. Well, God gives us a second word of counsel. Be filled with the Spirit so that you can pray in the Spirit. The Bible reminds us, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you take this next step of your life's journey, know this, be encouraged, heed the counsel of God's word. Solomon wrote, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." If you are to be a success and to succeed in life, you are going to have to trust the Lord God with all that you are, with all your heart. If you're going to know the will of the Lord in any given situation that you are going to face, you're going to need to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Develop the habit of being filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? You wake up and say, "Lord God, today I'm about to begin another day. Will you fill me with your Spirit so that I do not walk in the energy of my flesh?" You need to develop that so that you can pray without ceasing as you go throughout your day. You see, God knows what's going to happen in your day. You don't. And that's true for every one of us. We may wake up of a morning and we think we've got it made. But God knows there's something coming. And we need to be in the Spirit, that we might pray in the Spirit, that we might have God's word of how we need to act in that given situation. And the Bible says that God giveth his wisdom to those who will ask with a singleness of heart. And then God gives us a third word of counsel. He says, "Be found keeping yourselves in the love of God." Now, if you're a genuine child of the Lord God, you can never fall beyond the scope of God's divine love. But don't ever come to the point in your life of believing that you can take God's amazing grace for granted either. That means if you're going to be found keeping yourself in the love of God, you are going to have to invest a vast amount of your time with Him. Don't become so distracted by the pleasures of this world or the task at hand that you neglect your relationship with the Lord God. Don't let a day go by that you're not spending time with the Lord your God. Don't think that God can wait till later, because when you do that, you're on slippery slope. Don't allow the college scene, the activities, and the studies to separate you from the Lord your God. Don't put work and making money before the Lord your God. Be encouraged to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Determine now in your heart that you will obey the commandment of God, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that you may be found keeping yourselves in the love of God. And then the final word of counsel that God gives is this: be anticipating your Savior's return. The Bible teaches, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." live, anticipating the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for His church at any moment. You say, why should I do that? Because the thought that Christ could return at any moment is both a purifying and a protective realization for us. When you understand that Jesus Christ could appear at any moment, you won't be getting too near the line of what the world has to offer. You'll be able to say no to what your flesh is enticing you to do. You'll be able to look at that old devil right in the eye and you'll be able to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus is coming soon. Friend, how do you keep yourself pure in this world? By taking heed of God's word. By remembering that Jesus Christ could appear at any moment. When He comes, how do you want to be found? That should be all the encouragement we need to be certain we are ready when He comes. We need to get ready. Say, how do you get ready? You repent of your sin. And you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you need to be ready. He could come at any moment. And you need to stay ready. By following the counsel that God has given us this morning. Be committed to growing spiritually. Be filled with the Spirit so you can pray in the Spirit. Be found keeping yourselves in the love of God. Be anticipating your Savior's return. Now remember, you can listen to a message anytime. You can read God's Word. But if you don't act on it, if you don't put God's Word to work in your life, the Bible says all you've done is deceive yourself. Don't be deceived and don't deceive yourself. Act in obedience with what God's Word says. That no matter what testings, no matter what trials, no matter what difficulties or hurdles you may have to overcome, know this, that God is able to keep you from falling. And God is able to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Employ God's counsel and choose to live inside the boundaries of God's Word. Do what it says and don't do what it says you shouldn't do. It'll keep you safe. It'll keep you secure. You see, one day your life's going to be over. One day you're going to stand before the King of Kings. And one day you're going to stand before the Lord of Lords. And if you will live your life in the boundary of these of God's Word, you will hear these words the day you stand before Him. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well done. Live a life that you know when you come to the end, when you stand before the King of Kings, when you give your account, you can hear the words, well done. Father, we thank You for Your word to us this morning. Lord, help each one of us to live in a way that we would hear those blessed words, well done. And Lord, as we pray here this morning, I'm certain. Lord, there's people in here this morning who got burdens. And oh, Lord, it just seems, Lord, like their hearts are about to burst with the burdens that they're carrying. But Lord, You're the great burden bearer. Lord, don't let us carry a load we were never meant to carry because You said, cast our cares upon You, for You care for us. And Lord, I pray this morning for folks who are carrying a heavy burden that they'll come to this altar, that they'll give it to God and say, God, help me, because God can and God will. And I pray that they'll get up just a little bit lighter. That they'll get up with a little brighter hope this morning. That they'll know that there's a God in heaven who can work on their behalf and loves to show Himself mighty. And Lord, I just pray for those of us who have people on our mind this morning, people we know are lost, people who need Christ. Lord, may we storm the altar this morning. May we get on our knees and may we pray for people we know are lost this morning. Then next week they'll be here in church, that they'll come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Oh, Father, how we need you today in this world. And Lord, I pray for our graduates today. This is a blessed day in the lives of these families. And oh, Lord, what an exciting time for them. Lord, we've done our best this morning. You've given them your word. And I pray, Lord, that they are now fully equipped to go out into this world and to conquer whatever they need to conquer in the mighty name of Jesus this morning. It is in your name we pray. We ask you to bless as only you can bless. We ask you to show yourself mighty on behalf of your people. And as Randy and his group comes to sing our invitation song this morning, Lord, would you just bring people this morning? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brothers, if you'd come.